This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so happy that you're here. And just a quick reminder to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast, please do share these episodes with a friend that you think really needs it. I know I've changed how I listen to podcasts, so you might too. So if you find an episode that you really enjoy and you think someone will benefit from, please just pass it along. Also, a quick reminder that if you've been thinking about podcasting, or maybe you want to become a better storyteller or public speaker, then I think you'll benefit from attending Shout Out Live Radical Women. It is the UK's first Women in Podcasting Festival. We have an incredible, like, just honestly, the lineup just drives me insane with how good it is. We have Anita Rani from the BBC One show. We have the Slumflower leading a confidence workshop, and she is forever shaking the table. We also have Sophie Hagen, myself. We have Maeve McClenaghan, who runs the Tip Off podcast, which is best new podcast of 2018, and the smartest podcast of 2018 as well. Like, she's so many award-winning podcasters are going to be in the room, and the fantastic Kat from Blogtacular, where I just spoke, and it was a fantastic event. Like, you do not want to miss out, so head on over to solifestival.com to register to get a ticket. They are super limited. There's only 300 spaces available. In fact, there's less than that. So if you haven't gone on over to solifestival, that's solivestival.com. Also, the link will be in the show notes. This week, I am joined by Ruby Ariyuku, who is one third of Vamp PR. Ruby has been behind some fantastic UK premieres, including Girls Trip that starred Tiffany Haddish and Jada Pinkett Smith. She also was behind some of the Black Panther releases with her team at Vamp. Vamp PR tries to ensure that Black influencers gain the same access to junkets and mainstream press activities as their white counterparts. So, in today's episode, we actually talk a little bit about university and selecting the right course. So if you have a brother, sister, cousin, niece, nephew, or anyone who is doing A-levels right now, my little sister is doing A-levels right now, and they are about to make this big decision and embark on this huge journey, then I really, really strongly suggest that you share this episode with them, because we share the advice that we wish we received when we went to uni. Like, honestly, it would help and alleviate so much pressure for them. So make sure you share this episode with them. And we talk about how to get the best out of your university experience. So even anyone at university who's not having a great time, we talk about the ways in which you can actually get involved in activities and societies to make the best of your university experience. We also cover the one thing Ruby wants to do to improve and boost her career in PR. So if you listen, you'll find out what that is. We also cover how you measure and benchmark your success and the massively important reasons why you should be reading. Let's go. I wanted to go back to uni. Mm. And uni is a fun topic because we're heading into exam season. We're in exam season.
Yeah, seasons. I think we are now.
For some reason, Twitter keeps like talking about what's happening in like GCSE exams. And I'm like, there are 16-year-olds
on my timeline? Like, what?
It's weird. Yes. I was just like, I didn't even know they were using Twitter, but yeah. Cool.
Sure.
Cool. They're here. talking about how hard physics was.
Oh,
didn't
God.
Do it. We'll never
oh,
do
you
it.
Didn't?
No, I would never do physics. Oh, well, wait. Actually, no. It was GCSE.
I was going to say, you lucky thing.
I did double science, so it kind of like...
I did triple. It's horrible.
Yeah. I know what school you went to. Of course you did. Yeah. No, we did double.
Waste of time.
Yep. I did science at A level though. So.
Oh, okay. Forget me then. What you chose that as well.
it was a foolish choice.
Wow, but you're smart.
Did biology and chemistry. I was never going to touch it. Yeah, chemistry. Like they lost me at the end. I was like, screw it all. I'm not even going to show up. Like I actually showed up, but okay. I'm too high achieving for that. But
wow.
Yeah, that really pushed me to my limits.
I can imagine.
But yeah, so I want to talk about the process of choosing a course because, like you said, you didn't study media and the course, it was a requirement. And so how did you go about the process? What were you planning to do? What were you originally applying to do? And then how did you end up picking what you chose in the end, which is media and comms?
So I actually, well, for a while I thought I was going to do law. Definitely... The glitz and glamour of TV law that probably brought me.
Suits.
I thought, yeah, that sort of thing. Like, I thought, yeah, power.
Ally McBeal.
All of that kind of stuff. And, like, my dad was like, yeah, you'd be a great lawyer. Yeah. My dad was like...
Your dad is such a champion.
Yeah, but in the worst way, because I don't even realize... Like, it took me, like, 2 years to realize I don't want to do law. Like, I thought I did, just because I had it drilled into me for so long. And, like, I argued a lot. So they're like, yeah, law, law's for you, yeah. And so I thought I wanted to do law and then I realized I didn't. And then I thought I wanted to do presenting and then I realized, what's the official term, I guess, in uni terms for presenting, which was broadcast journalism.
Yeah.
And I just happened to find that course. And when I was looking through a prospectus for Leeds University, a couple of my friends went there and I was like, yeah, I'm going to Leeds. Didn't care about looking anywhere else. I was like, I'm going to Leeds. And
it's a nice place.
I really like these. It's a really cool place. And so I was looking through the prospectus, and I remember it very vividly. It's almost like it just opened on broadcast journalism. I was like, oh, I'd never heard of it. I didn't even know what it was. I just thought, okay, some kind of journalism. And I'd always been really good at English. I thought that might help. And I was reading through all the requirements and like the skills that you learn and skills that they want you to have coming into the course and the sort of things you do and, you know, the careers that can come out of it. And I was like, oh my God, this is me. This is so me. And I was like, this is perfect. And so that's what I thought I wanted to do. But then through looking at that course, I thought, okay, obviously I've got to find other unis that do similar courses. Not every course has that. I'm sorry, not every uni has that specific course.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I realized that fell under media. So again, like I'd never thought about media beforehand. That was not on my radar, but I realized that fell underneath that. And that's where I started broadening my horizons in terms of looking at media courses. So I was looking at media and sociology for a while and those sort of courses that I did English, history and classics at uni. So very written based courses and sort of theory based courses. So I thought it made sense to do something similar to that. And all my A levels were sort of requirements for media and sociology, those sort of things. So I thought that's what I wanted. I was like something under that. Didn't get into Leeds at all. Like it was far fetched. I don't even know how they let me in. What was it called?
A conditional offer.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. I didn't even come close to the grades. It was so bad. I remember I ran to my friend's house. I was like, shoot, what am I going to do? How do I tell my parents? I got into DMU, but
in Leicester.
Of course. But I didn't want to go there.
Why?
I freaked out.
The reputation.
Obviously, we're talking, 5 years ago now. So whatever the reputation is now, it was...
I mean, the reputation was doing a lot when I was at uni 10 years ago.
Whoa, really?
Yes, it's been a while.
But no, so, well, they've been holding on to that reputation for a while. So, yeah, I remember I was on Twitter and I was like, no, I can't go there. I was like, I can't go there. I'm not going. So I actually declined the offer.
Oh, wow.
Declined the offer before I even knew where I was going. I was like, I ain't going there. No offense to anyone who went to DMU.
It's actually got a very good business school if anyone's interested.
No, I'm sure it's like, I know people who went there and they were fine. But I just was like, I can't, I'm not going there. And so I actually ended up in clearing. So I went to a grammar school. So clearing was not mentioned to us. That was not something that I even knew what it was. I just happened to be, I think, on UCAS and like, you know, UCAS are really good at being like, what next? If you haven't got the grades that you need, don't worry. Clearing is your option.
They were
really good. Like, if it wasn't for like that website, I would never have heard of clearing, wouldn't know what it was. Like, they sent emails. So I was like, okay, oh my God, okay, maybe I can fix this before I have to tell my parents. I was really fortunate. Just before our exams, I'd been in the library with one of my friends, and she mentioned she was going to Coventry. And I was like, why didn't I think of that? And I checked the course. I was like, oh my God, the course is perfect. Why didn't I think of going there? And I realized it was because they had a requirement for media. And I was like, oh, well, never mind.
Yeah.
But then on the day when I got results and I failed, I didn't fail. When I didn't get the
you didn't get your
grades I needed grade, to get into the course I wanted to do, I was like, okay, let me just try Coventry. Like, you just never know. And yeah, called them up. Had to do a phone interview, had to beg my way in. And, you know, luckily I'd done all my work experience. So they were like, yeah, you haven't done media, so why should we take you on, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't know people were doing all of this, to be honest.
Oh my God, they really went in. Like, and I was like, okay, well, I've done this, and blah, blah, blah. I was like rambling. And yeah, and they were like, okay, yeah, cool. We'll see you in September. I was like, oh,
that's nice.
Thank you, Jesus. So yeah, and I ended up doing media and comms, and it was honestly the best decision I've ever made, because if I didn't do it, and if I didn't go to Coventry, I definitely wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, because my business partners I met at uni.
Yeah.
And I met one of my business partners on my course. So it would never have been.
We recently had a conversation about like degrees and their value. And I think a large part of like the universe, like why people still go to uni and why it still has currency, is because of that kind of inbuilt network of people that you meet.
I know a lot of people have a lot of bad things to say about
I am
uni.
One of those people.
Are you? I'm not. I genuinely, and I feel really bad when people don't, I feel really sad when people have negative personal opinions of their uni experience, because I had the best, and I feel so sad.
So happy for you.
Oh no, I feel so bad, because I just wish everyone had what I had. Don't get it was hard.
Yeah, of course.
And I had some terrible times, but overall, I definitely grew a lot as a person. I met most of my best friends and met my business partners. And yeah, I ended up realizing what I wanted to do with my life. So if that's not what uni's about, then boy,
I feel like that is the ultimate goal, right? I definitely think for me, like, because my uni was just white. It was a white space, a very heavily elitist, oppressive white space. And of course I had like really good friends. Like, I definitely had like some nice times. Like, the whole thing wasn't like the worst.
Yeah.
But like, in hindsight, I'm like, was that really the right course for me? Ish, not really. So I think for me, like, it sounds like really nice from your story, because you kind of had a lot of things that built up to you
exactly,
knowing.
Yeah.
Like, you had some of those
overnight
rejections.
Yeah.
You dealt with like not knowing, like, oh, actually I want to be a superstar, but the talent's not there. I need to figure out some other things. And you actually had the confidence to say, actually, this isn't for me, and switch.
Yeah.
Whereas I think at my time and like with the family that I just happened to have, everything was about like, we're riding on you to go to university, and we're counting on you to go to a bloody good one. You better get the grade. There was so much pressure on my shoulders.
Exactly. To decide the next 3 to 4 years of your life. It is a lot. And if you've, you know, as you said, you were what, first born?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First gen.
Yeah. So that's a lot of pressure. I was quite lucky. I was the last born. So it was a different kind of pressure, because it was like, okay, well,
you're like my little sister now, who still feels like an immense pressure to
Yeah, because it's like,
it.
Okay, well, you're the last hope. Like, come on, don't let us down. And I, as I said, I went to a grammar school, so my parents had high hopes.
Yeah.
My parents had high hopes for me. Oxford and all that nonsense. I was never on the cards for me. I wish I was smart enough to go to Oxford and all those upper schools, but I was not, much to the demise of my parents. But so it is a lot of pressure. It's too much. So if we could take out all of that, uni could be great.
Yeah, I think uni is a good vibe.
And the money element, obviously, is not great, but that's a different story.
That's a different story. The money now, like for me, I've been telling my sister, just take time, figure out what you want. It's expensive now. Like this is like back in my day.
Wait, so did you not have the, you didn't have the 9K?
I was paying three, darling. Oh my I'm God. That old.
That enough should have made your uni experience the best ever.
No, because we didn't know it was coming. And like that didn't kick in until at least, I think the year after I graduated. Okay. So we had like a good window, but we knew it was coming because we voted in the election where the Lib Dems campaigned that they were going to abolish the fees.
Never going to happen. Don't worry, guys.
And I was like,
don't
this doesn't even affect me, but I feel personally offended that you didn't fulfill that.
Yes.
So yeah, that was the year I was there. But for sure, like I also went through clearing like you. Best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
The courses on there were just so lit. I was just like, I want to do this one and this one and this one.
Why,
it was like a,
why so much space? Like why are you letting us all in? What's wrong? What's going on?
I was like, how do all of these bomb ass courses? Like that's when I was discovering so many different things and how I ended up somewhat in anthropology, which I kind of tenuously knew about, but I was on track to do medicine and biomed.
Jeez.
And I was like, nope. After that chemistry prep, I was like, see, now this is not for me.
Yeah.
I have to do something different. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, I'm scrapping all of my UCAS applications. And that's when I went through clearing, got into the uni I was going to go to anyway, and did anthropology. And I used it. I mean, I can't even complain that much. I actually ended up using it for
the
2 years after I.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Graduated.
See, that's the main thing.
And it has been somewhat beneficial in some ways. And the uni did open doors that I guess and I wouldn't have had. There's benefits to it.
It sounds like it was a great time. It was in the long scheme.
In the grand scheme of things, I think there's currency to it. But I definitely, like you said.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Definitely knowing what you want going in is like the most essential thing. And then also not having that pressure on yourself if you don't get the grades for whatever reason, because clearing is lit.
Exactly. Not to say that you shouldn't try.
Definitely try and get the grades.
It's so funny. One of my business partners, we always joke about the fact that it literally didn't matter that I went to a grammar school because we all ended up in Coventry. And we all ended up graduating. It literally does not matter. Like that whole process of education, where you go and all of that, it doesn't necessarily matter to, and like, it doesn't affect your, well, I guess it might affect your ability, but it's really on you and yourself. It doesn't matter where you went and all that rubbish.
I think, the uni comes as like a bit of an equalizer in many ways.
Yes, it's the, I think it really is an equalizer.
Because people that got straight A's around me ended up like getting 2-1s either like with me or like some of them, a lot of people got 2-2s.
Exactly. Like, so it's
only
it's
three
true.
People got 2-1s on my course and really? I was one of them.
Honestly, I think that's the best term for it. It's an equalizer. It really humbles you.
Yep.
Doesn't matter where you came from or who you are, what you went to. No, you're all the same. You're all graduating on the same stage. So
that's true. That is true. Mm. I also think it is also a great. One thing I wish I had known, and I guess that comes with like the legacy of uni being ingrained into like your family and your general family and knowing people that go to uni, is knowing the benefits of networking there.
Yeah.
I did not utilize any of those opportunities. I did not join clubs.
I did.
Do anything. See, you had all of the benefits of like milking it for
see,
everything.
See, this is why I think my uni experience is because I was on the ACS committee. Best year of my life. It was great. And the reason I say it was the best year of my life is because I did it with my friends. we had a really good year of ACS at Incov, and we held some really, really great events. Like we did open mic nights, we did the huge Valentine's Day event, and we did some real, really cool stuff. We got we won an award. We had like crazy amount of members. We got a lot of money. Like the first time there was money in the account for like ages, for years. And then the best part of it was, I'm pretty sure that's why I got my placements. Because when you go to your interviews and they're asking you, okay, so tell us the time that you worked under pressure, I was able to draw on ACS and being a part of that team. And when you're going into these sort of white spaces and saying, yeah, I was part of the second biggest society in Coventry, they're like, what? Wow, oh my God, tell us about that. They lap it up. They love it. And I was for a period of time, I was telling a lot of my friends who weren't part of the committee just to lie and just be like, you saw us, you were there, just drawing it. Because it's one of those really annoying things that if you haven't got experience, you can't get experience, yep. That sort of thing. So sometimes you got to make it up if you need to.
Fake it till you make
Fake it till you make it. So luckily.
Embellish.
Embellish. Embellish. So yeah, and it really did help, and it really did, I think, set me up for work life and those pressures that come with it. Because with stuff like ACS, although you're not getting paid or anything, if you take it seriously, it's a real job.
Yeah,
and you've got to find a way to juggle it with uni.
I had that issue because I didn't do anything at uni. I didn't know I was meant to. I didn't know, like, I was invited, and I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think I wish I had the advice that you're giving now, just because it would have made uni a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
And I know people that were doing all of those things. It just didn't occur to me that like that was not necessarily a requirement.
Yeah, it's but not a requirement.
It will enhance your experience.
Yeah,
for sure.
It will.
All right. So switching gears a little bit. What are you working on getting better at right now?
Am I working on getting better at? So I think the main thing for me at the moment, so I head up the PR segment of Vamp, and I find that whilst we've been doing it for a little while, and I've been doing PR for quite a few years now, I'm still learning it. You know, my experience has been loads of small things, or I did like my internship and then I did a year out of uni, and so it isn't a continuous, say, 4 years worth of experience. I've done about 4 to 5 years worth of experience of PR, but it's not a continuous one, and it's not one that I've grown on. So it's not like I was, you know, a junior PR assistant and then moved up each level each year. It was, I was a PR assistant here, PR intern, junior account. So do you know what I mean? So it was so mixed up. So I don't think I had a nice continuous growth in my knowledge and my understanding of PR and my expertise as well. So one thing I really want to be able to do is get better at that. And within PR is you have to do a lot of writing. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like I'm not the best writer, and it's always been a problem. So when I was, you know, on my internship, but particularly when I came out of uni, I got my first job, we had to do a lot of writing. So I worked for a tech PR firm.
Yeah.
And it was like not fun. Oh, I don't want to say it's not fun tech, but like when you think tech, you think, oh yeah, like phones and like gadgets and stuff. It wasn't that kind of tech. It was like it was like security, like cyber crime and AR and VR. And
I used to do some VR writing. It was fun.
Oh, that
only
was
because I got to try tech.
Oh, see, I didn't even get to try it. So it was really difficult. So it's bad enough, like, I'm not the best writer. Then I've got to write about stuff that I know nothing about. So then I've spent so much time trying to understand it before I'm even writing it. And you know, I guess with the advance of technology and digital stuff at the moment, a lot of brands are doing more blogs and, you know, those more in-depth written pieces. I had to do a lot of that. And it was probably the thing that made my first year out of uni the hardest, because I just was always second guessing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that I've done pretty well for myself for someone who doesn't read.
I
know reading will help me, but I just don't do it. And I guess it's really annoying, because half of me is like, oh yeah, you're pretty sick for someone who doesn't read. And then the other half of me is like, you're an idiot. Like, because clearly you're doing okay if you read, look how sick you really would be. Which is just so stupid. So it's the one thing I know I need to get better. I just need to read more and write more, and just, I want my writing to be like perfect. Like I'm fine, like editing, like my grammar's, all that sort of stuff's good. I'm fine. It's just like, maybe it's a creative, I don't even know what it is. I'm just not 100%. I want to be 100% and I'm not 100%.
How would you know if you're 100%, or how would you measure that?
I don't know. Surely someone who is good at, or like a journalist, a qualified journalist or something, will be confident in their ability.
You'd think so. I mean, I write for a living. And
I bet you're fine.
I mean, I feel like I'm, honestly, most of the time, I feel like I'm writing hot garbage.
Hot garbage as well.
Like, it's just like, this is awful. Like, where did, so, and then I'll, honestly, the only time I think I've done a good job is if I never see that piece of writing for 2-3 months. Mm. And then I come back to it and I'm reading it like, who wrote this?
That's not
this
me.
It's all right.
What? This is great.
This looks good. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually all right.
Well, see, I don't think I've ever felt that. Happiness. Yeah. Of that. Yeah. No.
That delayed gratification.
Yeah. No, I don't think I've ever had that. My writing's not terrible, clearly, because I've been all right for all this time. But yeah, I think that's one thing I want to get better at. I want to get better at writing. And I know reading will help that. And in turn, I want to read more. I want to get better at, I guess, my own self-development and my own growth. Because there's a lot of things in this world I don't know about. And I can find out about it in books.
You can also find out on Twitter. I'm joking.
This is why I'm where I am now. Because I rely on online too much. And I don't read. So bad. Or I'll just watch TV. I couldn't tell you how much I know about the world from TV. It's terrible.
I feel like it's a really great way to learn.
I thought so too, but
it's a bit warped because, I mean, everything is basically propaganda. And
yeah, it's true. So you never
someone
know.
Else's vision,
yeah,
of something.
Exactly. I love TV though.
I do love TV too. So what is one action that you're going to take get better at writing besides reading, because obviously you should read more.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone should read more, but what is one action that you're going to take decidedly in the next, let's say, 4 weeks, okay, to get better as a writer?
Well, I have to be honest about this because I'm going away next week, so I have to think, what am I really going to do over the next 4 weeks? I guess the most obvious one would be to write more.
Okay, that's smart.
I don't write unless I have to. And it's funny enough, I really don't have to do much anymore. My new role, the only time I have to write is when I do press releases. I like, whether it's, I don't know, a diary or something, I guess, yeah. Maybe I should do some creative writing or something. Maybe that's a course I could take or something. I don't know.
I did recommend a course.
Oh, yeah, you did.
The Copy Cure by Marie Folio. It's like $500. It's worth every penny. It will tell you how to craft a headline. It will tell you how to make your writing exciting. It will tell you how to tell a story effectively that will capture your customer. It'll tell you how to how to speak to your customer or whoever you're trying to speak to, actually. It's amazing. It was definitely worth every red cent. I mean, I had to manifest.
Free promo.
I manifested that money.
Mm-hmm. Made it back.
And I made it back. I have made, I would say I've like, definitely made 4 times the money I spent.
Nice.
On it. At least just from writing. I do other things, obviously.
Yeah.
I have many income streams.
Many.
But yes, I would definitely recommend the Copy Cure.
Well, okay. So definitely. Next 4 weeks, I'm going to write more. I'm going away for 2.5 weeks.
That
so
means you can do holiday reads.
I can
reads.
Really read and write because it's a chilled kind of holiday. So
I did a holiday journal.
What did you write in it?
I just wrote about what happened in my day. So when I was volunteering in Costa Rica and Nicaragua, we kept, I don't know why I did this. I don't even know where it is. So I wish I had it still. But it was like this massive like A4 pad. And like every day, I think it's because we were there for 10 weeks. Like,
wow.
And honestly, there was like no data. There was no internet. Like all you can do is either read or write.
Yeah.
So yeah, I used to just keep a daily journal of like, because everyone there spoke, not everyone, but the people you'd stay with was only Spanish speaking. So it was kind of a nice way to kind of like get through the day. Especially when you're speaking to like the only other people you're speaking to in English are your volunteers who are going through the same experiences as you.
Yeah.
So we just kind of like document like, oh, today I ate this, I spoke to this person. And then like as time went by, it would get more elaborate or more detailed about like your feelings and all this other stuff. It would tell the story of like, randomly we had this day where like a colony of like a million, I'm not even joking, like a million ants came at us. And like, just to recount that story in your diary is just like an actually very exciting, lively nighttime.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, oh my God, and these ants, and we had to get the
and
bleach.
Then, yeah.
So I would say like, even if your day is really boring, like I'd bury it from like one paragraph right down to like two or three pages sometimes.
Idea.
So I would say get a journal and just, you know, try and see if you can write a little bit every day. I usually use my notes app now on my phone or Google Keep, and I just,
yeah,
I use like tarot cards, and then I'm like, this is how I feel about this card. But that's okay. That's when I was forcing myself to write.
No, that's a good idea. I think I'm gonna buy a book, a journal type book, and do some writing on
Making
my holiday.
A pretty one.
Yeah, that always has helped, because like you want to open it and like with a nice pen as well. You want to need a nice pen.
You have to like merch it up. Just be like, look at me and
my little journal.
Just to stunt on people. Mm. I mean, that's how I do things, but you know, I'm weird.
I'm same.
A huge, huge thanks to Ruby, who is honestly just a fantastic and wonderful human being. I really enjoyed talking to her today. On Wednesday, we talk about the difference between marketing and PR, building your self-confidence, and getting the first job out of university. We also cover a little bit of the rise of the influencer. You can follow Ruby on Twitter at Miss Ruby Jade. That's MissRubyJade. And on Instagram, where she be stunting, at Ruby Jade X. That's RubyJadeX. If you like this podcast and you think you can do what I do, then you need to reach out to the Shoutout Network and consider one of our wonderful and affordable membership options. So you can head on over to shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. Also, if you're exploring podcasting as a possibility, or you just want to become more confident and sound amazing every time you speak, you should check out Shout Out Live Radical Women, the UK's very first Women in Podcast Festival, where we will have accelerated workshops, panel discussions, and live shows, all to upskill and empower the next generation of female voices. So head on over to solivefestival.com, that's S-O-L-I-V-E festival.com, and make sure you register for tickets. They are super limited, so make sure that you come along. And also, they're really, really affordable, guys. Like, if you register on the website, you get £10 off your ticket price. So make sure you go, because they are honestly very limited. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. I'm really enjoying the comments and encouragement that you leave over there. And if you share this podcast, or where you're listening to this podcast, on your Insta story, I will be sure to repost it, because Instagram now gives me that option. So please do screenshot your listening, or what episode you're listening to, and tag at Wannabe Podcast, and I will reshare every single one of them, because I love seeing it. If you're enjoying this podcast, please do leave a rating and review on iTunes, and I will see you on Wednesday. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.